Okay, today's daf is Kaf Gimel. We're starting Perek Zeborer, very famous Perek. Before we start the Perek, I want to talk about... let's read the Mishnah, and then I'll talk about some background. Okay, Dine Mamonot B'Shlosha. First of all, the third Perek starts out exactly where the first Perek started out. And now we're basically saying we're going back to that first Mishnah. When we talked about Dine Mamonot B'Shlosha, here's how it goes. According to Rabbi Meir, each person chooses a dayan, and then together they choose the third dayan. That's how we get to three. Chachamim say each one chooses a judge, and then each of those judges chooses a third. Meaning they don't together choose the third, each individual person, right? It's not the Baalei Din choose the third together, it's that the dayanim choose the third together. Okay, it's the dayanim's choice, not the people's choice. Okay, let's stop for 1 minute, or let's go on one more minute and then we'll talk about it. Ze posel dayano shel ze, v'ze posel dayano shel ze, divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says, after they each choose a judge, if one wants to knock out the other one's judge, they can knock it out. It sounds like a jury, right? That you knock out the jurors. It seems very strange. That's what we're going to have to talk about this mission in general. What are they talking about? V'chachamim omrim, ematai, when can you possibly the other one's judge? Bizman shemivei aleihem raya, sheim krovin upsulin. You can only do it if you have proof that there's something wrong with them. Aval, im ayuk sheirin o mumchim mipi beitin. But if they were dayanim ksherim or mumchim, then eino yechol leposlam. Then you can't posel them. Okay, next part is going to sound even stranger. Ze posel edav shel ze, v'ze posel edav shel ze. You can knock out the other one's witnesses, according to Rabbi Meir. Quite strange. V'chachamim omrim ematai. When can you knock out the other's witnesses? Bizman shemivi aleihem raya shehem krovin upsulim. Presumably that means he brings two witnesses that testify that, you know, they stole, they're a relative, something like that. Then you can.
Disqualifying witnesses is a pretty normal thing. I mean, they do that in court cases all the time.
To disqualify witnesses, but yeah, for a good reason, not
right,
just randomly.
Right.
Rabbi Meir makes it sound like it's random. Chachamim say only if you have a good reason.
Right.
But Rabbi Meir says, arbitrarily, you can knock out his witnesses.
In American courts, the lawyers don't have to say why they're knocking out witnesses.
Oh, really?
Which is why you get issues of race and gender and imbalance, because they can disqualify a witness without saying why they've disqualified.
That's interesting. I didn't know you could do that. Okay, so anyway, there's a huge debate about this Mishnah, about, is this Mishnah talking about all courts, or is there something specifically called a Beit Din Shel Borurim, and that we're talking about an arbitration court, and that this isn't a regular court that we're talking about, even though it starts at Dina Momen Abishlosh and it starts to talk about it, but it seems that there's a wide range of opinions about this, particularly in the academic world, this whole debate about what exactly is going on here. I'll quote you a few opinions, okay? Albeck says that basically this is a regular court, and it's just it's discussing, Albeck and Epstein are both in the school that this is a regular court, and it's a matter of, do you get to choose your own dayanim, or do you get to choose which court you want to go to, things like that. Mordechai Sabato says that the machloket between Rabbi Meir and Chachamim is really about this Beit Din of Borurim, that really there's something different. It's an arbitration court. And the debate is, are the rules about arbitration court like a regular court, which Chachamim would say, or does Rabbi Meir hold that in this unique type of arbitration court, the rules are different? And the rules of game, you know, are much, they're more similar to mediation, like we discussed in the beginning of the Masechet. There's, what else did I want to say about this? Then there's a whole school of thought that says that this has to do, that these are, by the way, I think Sabato holds this, they were modeled after the Romans. The Romans had court systems like this. And according to another academic, Gulak, he says that the Romans wouldn't allow the regular courts, and that's why they established the Beit Din Shel Borurim. Whereas other people say, no, there were alternatives. I think it's Benevitz. There's a great article that Moshe Benevitz has all about the Beit Din Shel Borurim. And I think he says that he claims that it was the Roman influence, but that there were two options. You could either choose to go to a regular court or to choose a court of Borurim, which in light of that, it makes the Mishnah make a lot more sense. otherwise, it's quite hard to understand. But we're going to see that the Gemara majorly struggled with how to understand this. One of the reasons could very well be that, again, the Gemara is written in Bavel, and in Eretz Yisrael, they had a different system. And And the Bavlim didn't really understand the system that they were talking about because they didn't recognize the system from anything that they knew of. So therefore, they all struggle. So the first thing they're going to do is they understand the way, okay, this is going to be all different understandings of how to read this mission. Zeborer lo'chav v'zeborer lo'chad sounds like each one, the first thing they think is, echad is a court. Each one chooses a court of three, and the other one chooses a court of three, and then either the two then decide on a third, or together they come to some third, or the Dayanim choose the third according to Chachamim. It's a little strange interpretation, yeah. But anyway, first we're going to read it like this. My zeborer lo'chav v'zeborer lo'chad, b'tlat esage. And it sounds like you choose one court, I choose one court, and then together we choose a third, or the Dayanim choose a third, meaning that all together we have nine judges to judge the case. What do you mean? We said three is enough. So hachi kamar. Now, by the way, there's two ways of reading this. Some say that the question is like this. Why do you have to go through this process of we choose one and you choose the other and they choose the third? The assumption is, that according to this reading, it's Rashi Tosfot, I believe, one second. Lavetet. Mashma Zebra, The interpretation is that that why can't you just choose three from the beginning? Why does it have to be that I choose a beitin and then you choose a beitin and then we disagree about it and then we go to a third? Why do you have to go through that system? And as this zeh sounds like this is how you do it. So it should be enough just to pick three in the first place. Why do you have to go through this whole long process? So again, either they think it's nine, which is such a strange havamina, which is why the other interpretation makes more sense to say that it's just, why do you have to go through this process? It doesn't make any sense. So hachi kamar. So now they say, this is what it means. Kishaze borer lo beitin echad. Veze borer lo beitin echad. Shneem borin lahem od echad. Okay, it's in a case where one chooses one court and the other chooses another court and they don't agree on the other's court. Then, shneim kiborim lam odachad, they can come to an agreement about another option, right? Another court. So meaning that each one can cancel out the dayanim of the other. So now the Gemara is going to question this. Neither one can force the other to judge in front of theirs. Vafilu love matze ma'akev, but a love is allowed to be to say, I don't want to come to the court the Malva wants me to come to. We've learned before, Eved Lo V'Liish Malva, right? That the Malva says, you're not paying me the money, come to court right now. He can demand that he go to court. V'hamar Rabbi Elazar, Lo Shanu El Malva. Ava Love Kofino Tovidam Bi'iro. Rabbi Elazar says that the Malva is allowed to force the Love to come judge in his city, meaning that he can't cancel judges. And the Mishnah made it sound like anyone can cancel judges. So what's the answer? Kida'amar of Yochanan be'erka'ot shebesuri yashanu. Hachanami be'erka'ot shebesuri yashanu. Just like Rabbi Yochanan says elsewhere, which we're going to see later in today's daf, that we're talking about erka'ot shebesuri. These aren't knowledgeable, well-respected judges. When we say kofino tovidam bi'iro, that's if he went to a good, reputable court. But if we're talking about some regular, random three guys, the Malva can't force the Lova to go there. And that's what we're talking about. They have the koach to knock out the Beit Din of the other. Ava mumchin lo. Okay, but according to this, mumchim, you wouldn't be able to knock out. Rav Papa Amar, afilu tema mumchin, I can even explain to you a case of mumchim where the Lova can say, I don't want to come to your court. What would be the case? Kigom beidina de rapuna u de rapchista. De kamar le, mi kamatrachna lach. When it's the case, right, what did we say? Kofino tovidam bi'iro. The Malva could say, you have to be judged in my city. But if we have a case like the court of Rav Huna and Rav Chisda, which were not very far from each other, they were in the same city, then the Lova can say to the Malva, I don't want to go to your court, I want to go to someone else's court. Some people say Rav Huna, right, that's what Rashi says, and right. Now, Tosaf brings up a problem, right? It doesn't make any sense that they were b'makom echad because Rav Chisda wouldn't have taught when Rav Huna was there. Remember, we saw that whole thing about the Ein Dam Bi'iro. I think another interpretation is in terms of the level of expertise. You know, that he could say, I don't want to go to that great rabbi, but I'll go to a different great rabbi. Okay. Tnan. V'chachamim omrim shnei dayanim borin lahem od echad. Now, if you say Shnei Dayanim Borim Lem Or Echad, then our whole interpretation right now, we've interpreted the Mishnah that Ze Borer Lo Echad, Echad is Beit Din Echad. But now it makes no sense. If you read the Mishnah like that, so first we said, right, what do you mean you have to go through this? So they said, no, it's only if you, right, it's if, right, they change ze to kisheze, in a case where one chose and the other one wasn't happy with it, or one chose, right, then they go through this process. And then we said, how could the lova even do this? And we gave two explanations, either erka or chibasuria, or they were both next to each other. That's the summary until now. But now they're going to say, if you're talking about Beitin, the Mishnah makes no sense. Because then it says, Chachamim omrim shnei dayanim borim lem od echad. V'isla kedatach kedamrina Beitin, Beitin batar depasli lehu azru ubaru lehu Beitin achrine. How could it be if I don't accept your judges that we're going to allow those judges to choose the other judges? V'od. Also, you change it to kishazeh. But my zeborer lo achav is zeborer lo achad. It doesn't make sense, right? It says zeborer lo, which sounds like this is the procedure, not kisheze, if it were a case. So therefore, elahachi kamar. Now here it's very important, the change in girsa. If you use the old girsa, it's a little hard to say, but the girsa in front of us is wrong. Elahachi kamar. Zeborer lo dayan achad. So now we changed, it's not kishe and it's not beidin. It's this one chooses one judge, Zeborer lo dayan echad, and this one chooses the other, and shneim borin lem od echad. This is the procedure we do every time we have a case. Again, whether you say this is any court, which is a little more difficult to say because we assume that there were courts where judges were already sitting, or you say these are specifically the mediation courts, it makes a lot more sense. And this is how they worked. One chose one chose the other, and together they chose the third, or the Dayan chose the third, according to Chachamim.
Is there a possibility that there were more than three judges, and therefore you were sort of choosing from the judge pool?
Right?
We've got these
possible.
Five, you each choose one, and then... You know.
It's possible, right, like a jury, but not so sure. It's tough to know. Maishna da'avdei hachi, now why did we do it this way? Amrei b'ma'arava mishmei de Rabbi Zeira, and Eretz Yisrael, they explained it in the name of Rabbi Zeira. Mishum sheze borer lo dayan echad, v'ze borer lo dayan echad, u'shneim borim lem od echad, yetze hadin la'amito. Okay? This is how we're going to get the most impartial judgment, or you could say, it's where the people, right, Rashi says this, ditzayte ba'alei dinim. This is how you're going to get the people to listen to the judgment. Okay, particularly if you're talking about a mediation court, it's the best way to have a mediation court. Each side has someone out for them, and then there's someone who's jointly that they both agree to as an impartial third party. So that's now the final interpretation of this Mishnah. That's what it means. Okay, so again, in this, let's say in a mediation or maybe in a regular court case, each one chooses one judge, and then according to Rabbi Meir, both of them choose the third, or the two Dayanim now choose a third together. Okay. The Chachamim Omrim. Now we're continuing on. Neima, so now what did Chachamim say? The Dayanim. Now what's the machloket? Whether the Dayanim choose the third or whether the Ba'alei Din choose the third. Neima b'Rav Yehuda Amar Rav Kamiflaget. Why don't we suggest that they're arguing about this statement that Rav Yehuda Amar Rav said? The Amar Rav Yehuda in the name of Rav Amar Rav. Ein ha'edim chotmim al hashtar elem ken yodim mi chotem imahem. Edim will never sign on a document, we've learned this before, unless they know who else has signed with them. Likewise, you could take this to say, judges would never rule in a court unless they knew who was ruling with them, the other judges were. So, what do we say? Rabbi Meir, late to Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav, he doesn't hold that way, and therefore the Ba'alei Din can choose. The Rabbanan, eat lehu to Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav. They have to agree with Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav, right? They would say, that's why the judges have to choose the third judge. Then the Gemara says, look, everybody agrees with Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav. The judges wouldn't sit there. And everybody agrees that the judges have to agree on the third judge, even Rabbi Meir. Ki pligi da ba'alei dinim. But the machloket is you also need the ba'alei din to agree on the third one. Rabbi Meir sefer da ba'alei dinim nami bi'inan. You have to have them agree to the third judge also. In other words, in the end, you have both the dayanim have to, in other words, the ba'alei din choose, but the dayanim have to approve. And according to Rabbanan, sefer da dayanim bi'inan, da ba'alei dinim lo bi'inan. We don't need the ba'alei din. Now we're going to go into the statement of Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. Guf Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. Ein Aidim Chotmim Al Ashtar Elam Ken Yodim Michotem Imahem. Tanya Nami Hachi. We bring a braita that supports this. Kach Hayu Nikiyei Hadat Shebi Yerushalayim Osim. This is how the upright people in Jerusalem used to do. Lo Ayu Chotmim Al Ashtar Elam Ken Yodim Michotem Imahem. Right? People wouldn't sign unless they knew who was signing. But Lo Ayu Yoshvim Badin. Here's the rest of it about the judges. Elim ken yodim mi yoshev imahen, right? You could see why someone would do that. If something comes out not right, it'll reflect poorly on them. V'lo hayu nechnesim b'seuda. Now we're taking it to a different place. They wouldn't even sit to eat a meal. Elim ken yodim mi mesev imahen, right? Be careful who you hang out with, right? Word will get around, oh, he's hanging out with those people and he's in the bad crowd or things like that. So these are the extra, like the people who are extra careful, they wouldn't do this. Okay, now we get to a big major question, which is going to take us to the end of today, which is, now we get to the second part of the Mishnah, which was quite strange, about posseling people's dayanim. So, ze posel dayano. Kol kamine de posel dayane? What do you mean? How do you have the power to just cancel dayanim? Amar Rabbi Yochanan be'erkaot shebesur yashanu. Here we have it. This is where Rabbi Yochanan originally said it. It's talking about regular people who are functioning as dayanim, but not necessarily knowledgeable people. Aval mumchin lo. So now they say, wait a minute. Hami dekatani seifa, the chachamim omrim, e matai bizman shemevi ra'aya shein krovin o psulim. Aval ima yuk sherin o mumchin mipibetin, eno yachol leposlan. What does it sound like then? What does Rabbi Meir hold? You don't need that. Meaning, michlal de Rabbi Meir mumchin nami kamar. Sounds like Rabbi Meir would say, what do Chachamim say? If they're mumchim, you can't cancel them, which means Rabbi Meir says, even if they're mumchim, you can cancel them, which means that we're not even necessarily talking about Erko Ocha Basuria. So, Hachi Kamar. Aval ima yuk shirim na'asu ki mumchim mipi beitim ve'enor chol aposlan. When Chachamim said if they're ksherim or mumchim, he didn't really mean mumchim. He meant if they're ksherim, meaning if they're regular people, not knowledgeable people. Regular people like Erko Ocha Basuria, this is how Rabbi Yochanan is going to explain Chachamim. Then they're as if they're mumchim and you can't cancel them. But if they were, and then comes Rabbi Meir to say, no, ksherim, just because they're ksherim doesn't mean they're like mumchim and you can cancel them. No, and you can't cancel them. You can cancel them, okay? And therefore, according to this, Rabbi Meir holds that mumchim can't be canceled. That's what we've concluded right now. So Tashma, Amrula the Rabbi Meir, Lo Kol Hemenu Sheposel Dayan Shemumche LeRabim. But wait a minute. There's a source that says that they said to Rabbi Meir, "How could you possibly say that you're Posel Dayan Shemumche LeRabim?" Doesn't that sound like he is Posling Mumchim? So we're trying to suggest, according to Rabbi Yochanan, that Rabbi Meir isn't Posel Mumchim. But the Tanitic sources don't support that. So what do? They reread the source, Ema. Lo kol heimenu sheposel dayan shimchu rabim alehem. Mumche l'rabim doesn't mean he was mumche l'rabim, meaning he's a well-known guy within the community. No, it's a mumche, it's a regular guy that the rabim decided he could function as a judge. But it's not really a mumche. Okay, that's a way of rereading the source in order to make it work into what they're saying. But here they actually bring a Tanaitic source to support this reading. Tanya Nami Hachi, La'olam posel v'holech, ad shikabel alav beitin shemumche l'rabim divrei Rabbi Meir. What does that mean? You can always cancel them unless it's a beitin that's mumche l'rabim. So it does sound like Rabbi Meir saying that if it's mumche l'rabim, you can't cancel it. So now what I think is going on here is that clearly in the Tanaitic time period, maybe post-Rabbi Meir, they didn't really know what Rabbi Meir's real shita was. And it wasn't clear, is he possibly mumchim or is he not? And that's why there's all these sources going about that some seem to support one reading and some seem to support another reading. But right now, in order to explain Rabbi Yochanan, we're going to explain that Rabbi Meir isn't possibly mumchim, that according to Rabbi Yochanan, it's only Erko Ocha Basuria that you can cancel and not actually mumchim. Now they say, wait a minute. If you say that according to Rabbi Meir, you can't possibly mumchim, what about the next section of the Mishnah? What does the next section in the Mishnah say? That according to Rabbi Meir, you can cancel Eidim. Now, why would this contradict? And this is what's going to lead to four basic different interpretations now. V'ha Eidim kimumchim dame. Aren't two witnesses just as strong as a mumche? In other words, do an analogy. Two Eidim, two men, let's say, to Edim is like a mumche for a dayan. You agree, right? In other words, a mumche is the best kind of dayan. Mm-hmm. And what's the best kind of edut? To Edim is perfect, right? You don't need anything better than, it doesn't get better than that. So therefore, va'amar Rabbi Meir, ze posele dav shel ze ve ze posele dav shel ze. So how can you possibly go and cancel someone else's edim if they're like mumchim? If we say Rabbi Meir holds mumchim, you can't cancel. Then how could you say you could cancel edim? Because edim equals mumchim, and that means Rabbi Meir says cancel edim. It means Rabbi Meir says you can cancel mumchim. So now we're going to have four different interpretations as to what he means when he says you can cancel edim. Until now, what did we think it meant? It meant that I could come into court, like you said. A lawyer can come in and say, I disqualify the witnesses, right? Without giving a real reason. So, ha'itmar ala, so now they say, wasn't it said about the Mishnah? Amar Ish Lakish, peh kadosh yomar davar zeh? How could possibly Rabbi Meir, a peh kadosh, say such a preposterous thing? Tane edo. You must mean in the Mishnah, it's not Eidav Shalzeh, it's Eidav Shalzeh. He can cancel if one witness, if the guy brings one witness to court, he can cancel it. Strange. Okay, what is this one witness? Eidav Lamai. Ilema Lamamon, if it was one witness who was trying to be Mechayev in a Mamon case, Rachmana Pasle. The Torah already said you can't have one witness. You don't need a postulate. Disqualify him. Ilishvua, if you want to say, well, Eid Achad is Mechayev Shvua, we've seen this before, right? If you bring one Eid in a Dina Mamano case, it'll make, if you want to be not have to pay the money, so you can take Shvua, Shvua Niftar, Nishba Ve Inom Shalem. Heimune Meheman Kebetre. Then, okay, if you want to say that, then Heimune Meheman Kebetre. One witness for Shvua is, again, just like two witnesses in a regular case. So, again, you'd have the same question. So, la'olam la'mamon. It is a mamon case. Lo tzricha dekiblei alei kebetre. What's the case? It's a case where he accepted the one witness to be function like two. You and I are in court, and I want to bring a witness, and I say, I only have one witness, and you say, it's okay. I'll let your one witness function as two. And since you accept it upon yourself, I can bring that one witness. But then comes Rabbi Meir and says, however, if you have the option to knock him out after, if you want. You want to say, I disqualify the witness, you can change your mind. And according to Chachamim, no, once you accepted it, you accepted it. You can't change your mind. Okay? That's the case. But now there's another problem with saying that's the case. And to know this, you have to know what the next mission is. My kamash malan dematzei hadrebe. What's the chiddush then, according to Rabbi Meir, that if I accept something, I can then change my mind about it, right? So, but Tanina, the next Mishnah says, Amar lo ne'eman alai ava, ne'eman alai avicha, ne'emanim alai shlosha ro'e bakar. If you say, now there's a big debate about this Mishnah, whether it's talking about only dayanim or maybe also edim. If it's also edim, it makes the question all the more a stronger question. Okay, ne'eman alai ava, ne'eman alai avicha means, I'll accept your father or my father to be either one of the Edim or one of the Dayanim, okay? And again, there's two different ways of reading it, and that will affect how you understand this question. In other words, either the question is, it already says you can if you accept Edim who shouldn't be accepted and you bring them back, it's okay. Or just, it's a similar concept, that if you accept them as Dayanim, then you can't be Chozerbo, you can't be Chozerbo, that's the Machloke, but it's a similar concept, okay? Not exactly as parallel, if you say it's all Dayanim. And Ne'amanim alash Losharwe Bakar, that's clearly relating to Dayanim, which are, I accept these three guys who know nothing about anything, and you allow them to, remember I told you, the Rowe Bakar, you're going to see them a lot, in a very negative light. Rabbi Meir Omer Yechol Lachzorbo, Chamim Omer Meir Yechol Lachzorbo. So there it's explicitly in the next Mishnah, which means that our Mishnah wouldn't need to say it, or you wouldn't need the next Mishnah. And even so, there it just says, Nemalima like that. V'amar Rav Dimi, you have to have the next line. V'amar Rav Dimi, Bereid Rav Nachman, Bereid Rav Yosef, Kigon de Kibble Alei Bechad. Rav Dimi came and said that what were they talking about here? They were talking about, okay, you'd have to say, again, it's a little tricky how to read this Rav Dimi. Maybe we'll get into it more in tomorrow's stuff. But let's just assume right now, for simplicity purposes, that he was saying, Ne'eman alai Abba, Ne'eman alai Avicha, that he accepted him not only to be the father, right, to be a witness, but also to be a single witness. And then you'd say, right, he accepted him to be either one. have to remember how this goes. There's two ways of reading this. Rashi, let's just read Rashi. Had kana ne'eman alei aba kigon de kiblei alei b'chad dayan v'yeshnayim k'shirim imo. Right, that he accepted him as one of a number of the judges. Okay, that's how he understands it. And therefore, again, so Rashi would have to say, since Rashi thinks it's all dayanim, he has to say, and here's the connection. Afilu hachi, Rashi says, kevan de pasumi d'oraita, matze hadarbe, hachanami, kevan de chal mamon, lomit kasher, matze hadarbe. Rashi has to add this. There, you're accepting someone who's pasumi d'oraita, and you're letting him be one of the dayanim. And here, you're accepting one witness, which is also kind of pasul midoraita, and you're allowing it. It's a bit of a, right, Rashi's interpretation is a bit, has a bit of a weakness there. What Tosfot says, if you look at Tosfot, Am Rav Dimi Kigon de Kiblei Bechad, he says, Tema, lamali latui had Rav Dimi. What do you need Rav Dimi for? It was pretty obvious even before you brought Rav Dimi in. V'yesh lo mari di lav de Rav Dimi, yava kashale tanilin, mari de kabalele kibetre, to have a tarte le reyuta. You would have thought that it might be that you're accepting that Rabbi Meir would say you could be chozer, but only in that case and not this case, because in that case, maybe you're accepting the father and to function as the only judge or the only witness. And then you'd have two things going against him. Both he's a karov and he's... Nothing. Right, and there's not enough people. So you might have thought, well, here there's only one reyuta, and therefore, you need Rav Dimi to say, Kigon de Kiblei Alei Bechad, he was only one of two, or one of three. In which case, right, if you say one of two, Adim, so then it's like the same as our case. The Karov is like one, having only one, okay? So that's why you need Rav Dimi. Okay. Tosfot, I think, makes a lot more sense. Anyway, so now the question is, however you read this all, there's repetition here. So why would you need both Mishnayot to teach you the same thing? So now we're going to say tzricha. You need it. Why? Di'i tana, there's a basic difference between abba and avucha, between a karov, and between one out of two witnesses, right? Having only one. What's the difference? Tana abba v'avucha, you might have, if you only had that case, you might have thought, bahaka amre rabbanan de lo matze hadarbe. If we agreed to accept one of our fathers as the whether a witness or a judge, whatever it is, you might have said that that's why Chachamim say you can't be chozer, but why? Mishum de'aba v'avicha chazu la'alma. They're bad witnesses in this particular case, but they're perfectly good witnesses for somebody else, or perfectly good dayanim for somebody else. Aval chag kebeitre de la'alma lo chaze, ema modu le'la Rabbi Meir. But they might have said that if we accept only one witness, since that's never allowed in a court, so therefore, maybe Chachamim would agree that it's weaker. That whole acceptance of that kind of a thing is weaker, and therefore they'd agree, even though in the other Mishnah they said, you can't be chozer bo when it's the Abba, but in the case of our case, one, you said, oh, I'll accept one, but then you could change your mind, because that's not such a strong thing, since it's never permissible in any court. And now we're going to do the reverse. V'yashmina b'hat, you just had our Mishnah, you would have said it exactly the reverse. In our Mishnah, the b'haka am a Rabbi Meir. That's what Rabbi Meir says, you could be chozer bo. Aval b'hai, but in the next Mishnah, eima modul hu l'rabbanan, they might have agreed with Rabbanan that you can't be chozer bo, because the father can be ne'eman to l'ha'id in any other case, and therefore it's tzricha. So now they say, wait a minute. Okay, this was all to explain one witness, right? We're all on Rish Lakish now, one witness, he says. Remember? You can only be posel edo shel zeh. Okay, you might have said, why didn't they say this in the first place? Now they say, wait a minute. Hamid katani resha dayano. What did it say? Zeh posel dayano shel zeh, the dayan of the other. The seifa edav, says zeh posel edav shel zeh, alma dafka katani. You can't say, what did Rish Lakish say? It should say edo. When it said Eidav, it didn't really mean Eidav, it meant his aid, one, singular. But since Dayan was singular and Eidav is plural, it sounds like Eidav is specifically plural, in which case, it must be he's knocking out two witnesses, in which case, sorry, Rish Lakish, you're wrong. Okay. Amar Rabbi Elazar, so second option, we're going to have four ways to read the case of the Eido, or the Eidav. Amar Rabbi Elazar, all the three other ones are going to be two witnesses they're knocking out. Biba huva achir leposlan. It's not that I come and say, I'm knocking out your witness, I'm disqualifying him. What am I saying? I'm saying, I'm coming with another witness to posel you. So we now have two witnesses, okay, canceling. However, right, what do we say? Kol kamine nogeh be'edutohu. But it's nice that we have two witnesses, right? Again, I'm a woman, but let's say it was a man, right? Because a woman is pasul eidut. But let's say the man was testifying, right? He wants to knock out the other witness, and he brings another aid with him to say, these guys are robbers, okay? Now, they say, what do you mean? He's no gay eidut. He shouldn't count. Amar Rav Acha, b'reid Rav Ika, kigon shekara alav ir. He didn't exactly passel him, but he brought some sort of iror against him. Let's see what this means. Ir demai, ilay marer de gazlanuta. If they want to say, okay, well, we know that he's a gazlan, so kokamin in nogea be'edutohu. That is nogea be'edut. Ela ir debgam mishpacha. Let's say I come along and I say, this guy is from a bad family, okay? An eved, for example, can't be a witness. So I say he's from mishpachat avadim. Now, am I directly testifying about the witness? No, I'm testifying about his family. Now, it's true, it'll filter down to the witness. But, okay, that's the machloket. Rabbi Meir Savar Hane Amishpacha Kamisade. Rabbi Meir says, these guys are testifying about the family, Vi'umi Mela Kapasel, and he's just getting canceled out as a result of that. That's not direct, it's indirect, and therefore, it's allowed. Rabbanan Savre Sof Sof Nogeh Be'edutohu. But in the end, he's still Nogeh Be'eduto by saying that they're a family of Avadim, so he's posseling that aid, which is in his case testifying against him. That's Nogeh Be'edut. So according to Rabbi Elazar, that's the machloket. It's about a pgam mishpacha, and it's he and someone else are coming to knock out these other two witnesses. Now we're going to have two more opinions. Both of these coming from Eretz Yisrael. Also, Rabbi Elazar was from Eretz Yisrael. The truth is, all four of them are from Eretz Yisrael. Rish Lakish, Rabbi Elazar. Interesting, this whole sugya is a machloket Eretz Yisrael. Ki ata Rav Dimi amar Rabbi Yochanan. Dimi brought in the name of Rabbi Yochanan that this is what it's talking about. Machloket b'shtei kitei edim. The machloket is when I come, well, let's say you came and said you were going to bring two groups of witnesses to court, and I want to knock out one of them. So am I allowed to knock out one of them? De Rabbi Meir Savar, Sarich Levarer. This should sound familiar from Baba Batra. De Rabbanan Savre, Eino Sarich Levarer. What does it mean, Sarich Levarer? You have to make sure that you have to tell the truth. Right? You have to, if you say, I'm going to bring two groups of witnesses, you actually have to bring two groups of witnesses. So that means that if I knock out one of them, we can assume that sarich levarer, which means the other one will still stand. You'll still have witnesses. So I can actually knock them out because I'm not disqualifying all your witnesses. If I was disqualifying all your witnesses, then we'd have an issue. So the assumption here, okay, there's a few different perushim. There's two lashonot of Rashi. Rabbeinu Tam has a whole different way of understanding it, but we'll start with the first lashon of Rashi. So the first lashon of Rashi is someone comes to court, basically you have to make sure before you come to court and say something that it's absolute truth. So if you just come and say, I'm going to bring the two groups of witnesses, we assume that you're telling the truth. So now, how does this work? Let's look inside. Rabbi Meir Savar Tzarich Levarer. So Rabbi Meir says he must tell the truth, and because he must tell the truth, what are we going to assume? Therefore, I can knock out one group of witnesses because you're obviously going to bring a second group. Rabbanan Savre, Eino Tzarich Levarer. But Rabbanan hold, you don't have to be careful about what you say. Therefore, you might have just been, it's a scare tactic. Oh, I have all these witnesses coming. But if the first one comes and I knock them out, I'm not allowed to do that because I'm Nogei Beidu, because I have no idea if you're going to bring a second kat. Aval b'kat achat, divrech kol Eino yachol leposlan. But if it's one group of witnesses, everyone agrees that you can't knock them out. Okay? And the next interpretation that we're going to get to eventually is going to have the same idea that it's also two groups of witnesses. Okay? So now we're going to go to the second Lashon of Rashi. So the second Lashon of Rashi is, let me just review it. If you come to the court, you have to speak the truth. And therefore, right. What if one of the groups of witnesses was pasul, according to, this is the second Lashon of Rashi. If I say I'm going to bring two groups of witnesses, do I have to make sure that they're all kosher witnesses?
Because they're within a group.
Because they're within a group. Well, they're not within a group, because I say I'm bringing two separate groups of witnesses. But if I say I'm bringing two groups of witnesses, and let's say you knock out one of them and say, or I guess there was the reverse, you brought two groups of witnesses, I try to knock out one of them. If I knock out one of them, by knocking out one, does that knock out all? Because if I say they're pasul and I'm believed, then you're not, then you weren't telling the truth. Because what you said is, I'm bringing two groups of witnesses, and the assumption is that you need to make sure before you say that, that they're all kosher witnesses and they're good witnesses. And if you didn't check that out, and I knock one group out, then we knock out all your groups because you're no longer trustworthy. Okay? So then, now according to this, you have to say that the Shitota reverse, the Girsa is different. Because then it would be, Rabbi Meir says, Einot Tzarich Levarer. You don't have to make sure of everything. And that way, when I cancel one, I'm not canceling all. In which case, you're still left with a group of witnesses. According to Chachamim, you'd have to say, Tzarich Levarer. Dafka, it's the flip there. So Chachamim would say, you have to check. In which case, if I knock out one, I knock out everybody. In which case, it's no good. Okay? Maybe we'll skip Rabbeinu Tam for right now. But know that Rabbeinu Tam, he kind of goes with the Lashon HaRishon of Rashi. He has a bit of a different twist on it. Okay.
Why would it be to your advantage to bring them in groups instead of a whole bunch of individuals?
Well, first of all, generally, the groups of witnesses would come together if they saw the event at the same time, or they were as a group when they saw the event.
Right.
Okay, so they weren't necessarily...
But they're still,
and then it's also an advantage, according to this, depending on what you hold like. But if they're knocked out, at least you have other ones. Whereas if you come as a group and one's knocked out, we saw before, Eidutra Batila Mitzata Batila Kula, and if, you know, one guy's knocked out, does it knock out the others, doesn't
it's
it? But this would be simpler for you if they come. Well, you can't come as individuals. You have to come as a group of two. But the question is, can you come in several groups of two that are separate? Okay. Now, the Gemara is going to question this. Amru lefanav Rav Ami v'Rav Asi. Ein sham ela katachav mahu. But what if there was only one group of witnesses? So the Gemara says, what kind of question is this? Ein sham ela katachad v'ha'amarta v'abakatachad divrei kolenu chalapasam. We just said, if he was only bringing one kind of witnesses, then obviously you can't cancel them. So what did he mean to say? Really, the question they were asking was like this. Ela nimtzeit kat shnia krovino psulin mahu. What if the second kat was found out to be krovino psulin? You knock out let's say I come, I knock out your first group, knowing that you're going to bring a second, right? And so it's okay, according to, right, one reading. So now, if now it turns out that second group of witnesses is also not okay, now, retroactively, I'm really no gebe davar. I basically knocked out all your testimony. So Amar Lahen, Kfari Idu Edima Rishonim. What's done was done. Okay? Again, this also interprets differently. You could interpret it exactly in the opposite way, but we'll go with this interpretation
that you resurrect their testimony since it was already given.
No, so, okay, again, there's different ways of reading it, okay? Kfari Idu Arishonim. Here, we could see Rashi. Look in Rashi. Kfari Idu Arishonim. Kishinimse kachnia psula. Kvarnit kabla bekashrut edutan shel elo hamidina lapsul. Not the Edim Arishonim that testified, but me and the other guy who came and testified against them, we already knocked them out. And therefore, they're knocked out and you have no witnesses. Lishna achrina, skip to the next line. Kfari Idu Arishonim. Kat rishonashi idu beidutan shabalei dinimu mehemne. Kevan deshniya psula tu lo mifsalei kamai. Dehavalei nogea beidut. Okay, so we actually bring them back, according to the second interpretation. So it defines as itself and its opposite, which means tough to know how to conclude from this.
Yeah.
Okay. The Ika de Amri, some people said that they didn't answer it said, Amru lefanav, Rav Ami, Rav Asi, right? They said before them, what's the story? And then they answered, or Amru Rav Ashi, maybe Rav Ashi answered, Kvar hi'idu edima rishonim. Okay, now they're going to say, well, if that's the case, that it's about Tzarich Levarer, then now we're going to go back to Bava Batra, how we ended the Masechet. Nema beplugta de Rebbe, Rav Shimon ben Gamliel kamiflege. Maybe they're arguing over the same thing that Rebbe and Rav Shimon ben Gamliel are arguing about, if that's the case. Titania, habali don bishtar b'chazaka. Somebody says, I'm going to bring a star and a chazaka. Nidon bishtar de Rebbe. Rebbe says, you have to bring the star. V'rashban gomer nidon b'chazaka. Right? You can be judged b'chazaka. V'havina ba b'chazaka v'lo b'shtar. They said, what, only b'chazaka and not b'shtar? Remember, we had a whole long thing. We had many interpretations of this till they finally concluded. Ela'ema af b'chazaka. What he means is, even chazaka is enough. Just because he says bring a shtar doesn't mean he actually has to show the shtar. V'kaimalan, and it was explained there, debit tzarich leverer plige, that their whole machloka was about tzarich leverer. And therefore, this is the exact same machloka. So now they say lo. Alima de Rashbag kuleyam lo plige. Okay, according to Rashbag, they don't argue. But you could say the ki plige aliba de Rebbe, that according to Rebbe's interpretation, you wouldn't necessarily agree that it would be the same here. So what does Rebbe say? Rebbe says, Nidon b'shtar, right? You have to bring the shtar. So now you could say like this. De Rabbi Meir ki Rebbe. Rabbi Meir holds like Rebbe. That's simple, because he says, Tzarich levarer. Ve'Rabbanan amre lecha, and Rabbanan would say, Ag kan lo ka'amar Rabbi Hatam, ela b'chazaka, de mikoch shtara ka'ate. Only in a chazaka case do you have to also bring the shtar. Because what's the whole purpose of a chazaka? This good review of Bava Batra. That we assume you had a shtar, but you lost it. And therefore, if you say, I have a shtar and a chazaka, and since your chazaka only comes from the fact that we assume there was a shtar to begin with, and you say you have the shtar and pitom, you can't find the shtar, we're a little suspect, and therefore, since the chazaka comes from the chazaka of the shtar, therefore, you have to provide the shtar. Aval hacha. In this case, Tahani Edim, La Mikoch Edim Achrine Ka'atu, these Edim had nothing to do with the other Edim. They're two totally separate groups. Afil Rebbe Modede in Sarich Lever. Even Rebbe would say, you don't have to be Mevarim. Okay? And that's why we'll say it. Okay, fourth interpretation. Ki Ata Ravin, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Reisha Be'edim Psulim V'dayanim Kshirim. Okay, you have to fill in a bunch of details here, okay, in order to understand this properly. Okay, the Reisha is where the Baldin knocks out the Edim. Okay, the Reisha is the Dayanim, right? What's he talking about? The Reisha and the Seifa is the Zeposel Dayano Shalzeh and Zeposel Edav Shalzeh. So the Reisha is when he's postling Dayanim, and the Seifa is when he's postling Edim. Now, what happened here? He comes forward and he says, I'm postling your Dayanim, okay? And I'm postling your Edim, okay? So look at Rashi. Baldin Posel HaDayanim Veha Edim. Now, what happens? We don't trust him at all yet. But the question is, can he bring support for it? So what happens in the end? Nimtzu'u dvara v'emet al ha'edim. Okay? So he says, I'm going to pass about the edim and your dayanim are psulim. He brings witnesses that say that the edim are, let's say, gazlanim. Okay? They're robbers. So now do we have a migo? Migo, it's a little different than the migos we've seen about he could have made a better case. It's not that. It's mitoch. Mitoch shepas le dayanim. Edim pasli nami dayane. Since he's believed already about the edim, and we already see, so then we'll believe him also about the dayanim and allow him to pasal the dayanim. And seifa is the reverse. But dayanim psulim beedim kshirim. Again, he pasled everybody, but we found out that he was right about the dayanim. So do we allow him zeposel edav shalzeh? Do we believe him about the edim? Demigo de pasli dayanim pasli nami edim. So now the Gemara says, Matzke flarava bishlam amigo de pasle edim pasle nami dayane. Ika bedin achrina. I understand if you're going to pasle, right, mitoksha poslim edim poslim nami dayanim. Okay, you can always go to another court. Ela, migo de pasle dayane, pasle nami edim, vaha edim tuleika. It's like what you said, you can disqualify witnesses, but if you disqualify witnesses, you could be really stuck. Like, how can we let someone just disqualify witnesses and then I have no witnesses left? Okay, witnesses, they're few in number. Judges, exactly. So now they say, lo tzricha di'ika kata cheret. Okay, it must be that there's two kite edim. And the question is, you came and said, or I came and said, I'm passing your dayanim and your edim. And I was proven about the dayanim. Now we can believe me about the edim as long as you have another kind of edim that I didn't pass on. Okay? So now the Gemara says, but wait, then Hainu to Rav Dimi. That's exactly the same as the third answer we gave, that there's two kite edim. Now, it's not exactly the same. The Gemara is going to say that. But first, they look at it very simply. Oh, well, you're distinguishing between kad achad and two kitot. So, ika benayu migo. To mar savar amrin amigo, mar savar lo amrin amigo. According to Ravin, you can use this migo. According to Rav Dimi, you can't use the migo. The migo won't work. You can't say, oh, well, if you prove the dayanim, you'd also be able to cancel out the edim. Yeah, no, you'd have to be, right? Only Rav Dimi is going so far as to say that migo works. Okay, we'll stop here.